Now you'll find our text this morning in Matthew 19 and verse 27. Matthew 19 and verse 27. Just before we read these words, bear in mind what we considered a couple of weeks ago concerning the rich young ruler in the previous verses. Matthew 19 and verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Dear congregation, the true believer, though he will suffer for the sake of Christ in putting him first, will be abundantly blessed through God's grace. They may lose certain things in this life, but because of God's grace, they will be abundantly blessed. There is a cost, but there is much blessing. Now, as we considered a couple of weeks ago, a rich man came to Jesus asking, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And as we considered afterwards, he went away sad. And why was that? He had not put the Lord first in his life and followed him. His heart were for the things that he possessed. Now, Peter took the opportunity in light of this to ask not only for himself, but for the rest of the disciples in verse 27, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? We have left all. Now consider, though there was a measure of sincerity in what Peter had said, he and the others had not left great riches, like the rich young ruler had in his possession. However, our Lord does not point that out to Peter at the present time. You see, he was comparing it. He knew the sincerity of Peter's heart. Well, how does our Lord respond in verse 28? Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, he also shall sit upon 12 tribes, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Now, just a little introduction before we come to these things this morning. We notice the word regeneration in verse 28. The word is often used in light of the new birth, when one is born again, as we note in Psalm 87, but also in John chapter 3, that account with Nicodemus, how the Lord made plain to Nicodemus he must be born again. So we often think of the word regeneration in light of the new birth. But we consider further the word regeneration, it speaks of renewal, renovation. Now our Lord is not speaking here of the spiritual new birth when one is born again. What the Lord is speaking here of, firstly, is the putting of the church into its new state. That is simply the church in the New Testament dispensation. In former days, the church was known to be in the Old Testament dispensation. And that dispensation, and we consider, they were found the sacrifices and the ceremonies that pointed to Christ. Well, with the coming of Christ and of the Holy Spirit, the church simply was put into the new state. It's the church that was in the Old Testament, not two churches, the same church, all those savingly united to Christ, we consider, but the church put into the new state, found under the New Testament dispensation. And so instead of sacrifices and ceremonies that pointed to Christ, we could consider the Lord's Supper, baptism. So we think of the regeneration that took place. Church under the New Testament dispensation. But then secondly, we consider the new state when the Lord returns. So first of all, the commentators point to the church in the New Testament dispensation, in the new state, the Lord's Supper, baptism. But then the new state, when the Lord comes, the Lord will make new heavens and a new earth. There will be the regeneration on that day. Now the true disciples had, through God's grace, been brought to faith, and they were following him. But through his grace, they had been blessed and would be blessed further in life and in the life to come. And bringing this together, first of all, in view of the regeneration, when the church would be put into the new state of things under the New Testament dispensation, those disciples would be given a place of respect and honour, sitting on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. But then further, oh, a place of honour for them, those true disciples, in the heavenly world. Blessings will come for them because of God's grace, and blessings will come for us because of God's grace. Well, that's a little introduction here. Let's come directly now to verse 27. Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? I'd like us to consider, first of all this morning, following the Lord. And then secondly, blessed by the Lord. And the Lord speaks of blessings for the disciples from verse 28. And though certain things will not be quite the same for us, there are blessings for us now and in the world to come because of God's grace. So first of all, following the Lord. Secondly, blessed by the Lord. Verse 27. Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? We have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Now, I'd like us to consider two things. First of all, those true disciples were following Jesus as believers, unlike that rich man. He would not believe, and he went away. So that's the first perspective here. Those true disciples followed Jesus as believers. They had put him first through the grace of God, and there was love within. The rich man, he would not put the Lord first. He did not have love for the Lord. He went away sorrowful because his heart was for riches. So we consider, first of all, true disciples following Jesus as believers. But then secondly here, the true disciples followed further in the work that the Lord had given to them in a special way. They were disciples. They were to serve the Lord, to go forth, ministering the word and helping the sick. Turn with me in light of this to Luke chapter 5, verse 9. For he was astonished and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes that they had taken. And so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to the land, they forsook all and followed him. We see that second perspective. They forsook all and followed him, his close disciples, serving him, going with him where he went, preaching the gospel. Well, let's consider the first of these now. Those true disciples were following Christ as believers. Remember Matthew. Our Lord came and said to Matthew, follow me. And we're told in Matthew 9, verse 9, and he arose and followed him. And he arose and followed him. They were true believers, following the Lord. We know there was one, Judas, outwardly, but not truly within. But those true disciples were following the Lord as believers. What? Why does one need to follow Christ? Well, I give two reasons at this point. First of all, because of sin. Because of sin. And then secondly, because Christ is the only Saviour. First of all, because of sin, one is in bondage. One faces much misery because of sin and leading on, there is punishment. Oh, as we think of those things, and if we think of a lost eternity in a place called hell, oh, we see there is the need for one to follow Jesus. But then secondly, because Christ is the only Saviour, the only Redeemer. We read in Acts 4 verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given among men, under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. You see the importance then, that one is found following Christ and him alone. Well, Peter, he came to faith in Christ. He followed the Lord as a believer. You recall that occasion recorded for us in John chapter 1. He first came into acquaintance with Christ, having been invited by his brother Andrew. We read in John 1, verse 1, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. See there, Andrew, he spoke to his brother. Oh, brothers and sisters here, you speak to each other of the Lord. Where Andrew, he pointed Peter to Christ. And Peter was in acquaintance with him. Are you in acquaintance with Christ? Are you following him? What do we read in John 10, verse 27? My sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. They hear. Have you heard his voice? Inwardly, you've read the word and you've heard the voice inwardly, and you're following. Well, the Lord knows, doesn't he? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Are you known by the shepherd? Remember what we considered a few weeks ago? The Lord turned and saw them following. Oh, the Lord is receiving the praise at this moment. As he looks down on you here, does he see you following him? One may say the right things. One may even pray, yet still not be following Jesus. Because there's no heart religion, no love for him. Does he know that you are following him? Peter was found following him as a believer. And that leads us to consider firstly now, to follow must be to believe in Jesus. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. They hear my voice in the gospel. And they hear it, and they hear it in their soul, and they follow. Remember our Lord, he went around preaching, repent ye and believe the gospel, in Mark chapter 1. Oh, if one is found following him then, they would have believed in him. And the evidence that one has believed in him, they've said sorry, they've repented of their sins. The true believer repents. Without repentance, one is not a true believer. One comes to faith, the evidence is they repent of their sins. When life is given, one hears the call to follow. And they hear it within. They listen to Christ. And they believe in him. One is told to believe, Jesus said, repent ye and believe the gospel. As he went around in his ministry, and believe they do. What a blessing. We were brought to faith in Jesus Christ. And we are following him. We can say with the psalmist, my soul followeth hard after thee. We know him. We follow him. Secondly, to follow means to love Jesus. If one is truly following the Lord, there will be love in the soul. Yes, at times the love is not how we want it to be. We want it to so ripen, don't we? And to so flourish that there is love in the soul. Turn with me to Proverbs 8 and verse 34. Remember this particular chapter considers wisdom, and we are particularly led to consider Christ who is the wisdom of God, as the Apostle Paul makes known in Corinthians. Blessed is the man that heareth me, Proverbs 8 verse 34, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favour of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. All they that hate me love death. You see plainly, those who are following Jesus don't hate him, they love him. The true follower will have love in their heart for Jesus. And we see that in the Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon 2 verse 8, the voice of who? My beloved. Behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved. Verse 9, verse 10, my beloved spake. My beloved. And the believer again and again will think of Jesus as the loved one. My beloved is a mark of grace that one is found following the Lord. They have a heart for Jesus. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Notice those words. My soul followeth hard after thee. My soul. It's in the heart, isn't it? Oh, yes. There are certain things we need to do and we will be seen doing, coming around the table. But oh, it begins in the soul, doesn't it? My soul followeth hard after the experimental Christianity, a heart for Jesus. There's an evidence. One who is following Jesus will have a heart for him. They love him. Their affections arise at times. Remember those words in Colossians, set your affections on things above. And what do we find at times? Our hearts going heavenward. Sometimes we're doing something with our hands. We're attending to something in this world lawful. But then our hearts go heavenward. And we think of him and we pray. Just a little prayer. It may be like that lady a few weeks ago we considered. Lord, help me. How often the Lord's people have said that in the workplace. Because they have a heart for him. And their affections suddenly arise. Lord, help me. I love thee. Help me in this situation. I'm weary. I'm tired. This is difficult, Lord. I'm perplexed. Oh, there's a heart for Jesus. Those that follow will love him. Thirdly, to follow Jesus means there will be a going with the truth. John 14 verse 6. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Remember those words of Christ, come unto me. And then he said, learn of me. Those that go, those that are found following, will desire again and again to be at his feet, listening and learning, because they want to follow him in the right way. In following Christ, one will be found, desiring to stick close to him. And his word, yes, sadly, there are the times of backsliding, and we may need to pray with the psalmist, that the Lord would restore our soul, that then we would be able to sing, he restoreth my soul. There are times, but it's our desire, isn't it, to follow the Lord, to do what is right. John 15 verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. What challenging words. How we felt, but it's our desire, isn't it? To do what he commands us. We believe this is what we must do. We backslide at times, but we believe. And it's what we want to be doing, isn't it? We want to please him. Fourthly, to follow is to imitate him. Ephesians 5 verse 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. followers of God. Literally, the Greek word can be translated as an imitator. An imitator. And walk in them. Seeking to so walk as Christ. Walking in love, focusing on Him. Seeking to be like Him. That's our desire, isn't it? To be more like Jesus. We're in following Him. We bemoan our failings, but we desire to so be more like Christ. And that's a mark of grace, isn't it? We fail, but we want to be more like Him. What did we consider earlier in prayer? But growing grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, we're concerned about growth, aren't we? We don't like the winter times in our soul. We want the springtime when there's the fruit appearing, and then the summer when there's the ripening. Oh, we want to be more like Jesus as believers, isn't it? Is that not true? Do you want to be more like Jesus this week? Well, that's an evidence you're following Him, isn't it? We stumble, but the shepherd comes and picks us up, and we're helped on our way, and we have this desire to so follow Him. Fifthly, to follow Christ means that one desires to spend time with Him and entertain Him. Remember again those words concerning Matthew. Follow me, says Christ. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples. For there were many, and they followed him. There Matthew, he entertains Christ, and he spends time with him. And is it not our desire to entertain Christ and spend time with him? He comes to dine with us. Revelation 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Now, yes, we can see that in an initial way, but oh, in light of the Song of Solomon 5, we see it on subsequent occasions. The Lord comes to the door of our heart. Oh, let him come straight in, we could say. You don't have to knock. We hear that expression, don't we? I'm ready, Lord. But sometimes he has to knock. Sometimes you may go to someone's house and you knock. And then you have to knock a little harder. Sometimes Jesus has to knock a little harder. Oh, let him come in, because we want to dine with him, don't we? We want to entertain him. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my love. When did you last say that to Jesus? Here's my heart, Lord. What do we read in Proverbs? My son, give me thine heart. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my love. Here's my time. Here's my prayer, thanksgiving. Evidences that one is following the Lord. We like to spend time with loved ones, don't we? Oh, is it not our desire to spend time with the beloved? We love them. We have our hearts full of affectionate times, and we want to spend time with them. Sixthly, to follow Christ is to count the cost, to deny oneself and take up the cross. The rich young ruler, he counted the cost, but he would not follow. He loved his riches. He would not put the Lord first. He would not take up the cross. The true believer counts the cost, takes up the cross, and follows him. And there's a denying. One denies their own righteousness. It's filthy rags. And they deny it. Nothing in my hand I bring, said one of old. Nothing. What did we have to boast of when we were brought to Christ? Nothing. And yet we're so rich now in Christ, aren't we? There's a denying. And then following, there's certain times when we need to say no. There are hindrances. We read of the race, do we not, in Hebrews chapter 12. And we're to lay aside. That which doth so easily beset us. Now that's interesting, isn't it? There are things that doth so easily beset us. I won't list them out, but you know them in your own life. There are certain things that slow you down in getting to prayer at times. Sometimes there's lawful things. And they're not hindrances, but something comes and you must attend and then you get to prayer. Sometimes it's weariness, but there are certain things that slow us down in getting down on our knees to dine with Jesus. There are hindrances. You consider any hindrance in your life that's slowing you down, lay it aside. Be denying yourself, saying no. You need to say no at times. You may be invited to go to a certain place and there's a great spread of food and you need to say no. You're tempted to have certain things, but you say no. You can be tempted at times. You say no to certain things. Don't let things slow you down. Be denying yourself. Put Christ first. Or consider that. The believer following Christ. The true disciples here were following Christ. Dear brethren, take comfort. He will support you as you follow him. You bear a cross, aren't you? He'll support you. He'll be with you in the valleys of affliction and in the storms of trial. He'll support you. Keep following. Keep looking unto him. He hasn't let you down, has he? We have failed him, but he's never failed us. He's always been there for you. You're not disappointed, are you, in following him? One of old wrote, all the way my Saviour leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? No complaints, have we? We're just so thankful for him, aren't we? How blessed we are just to be following him. We'll consider on another occasion blessings through grace. But are we not just blessed in and of itself that we are following Jesus? You just consider if we were not following Jesus this morning, where would we be? We would be wandering from side to side on the broad path that leads to destruction. Why would we be wandering from side to side to different pleasure houses of sin? That's what we would be doing this morning. How blessed we are that we're following Jesus. Now we must draw to a close. Time is gone. Secondly, the true disciples were following Jesus as servants in the special way that they had been called unto. Go back again to Luke chapter 5 verse 10. Our Lord said to Simon Peter, fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now Peter was already following Jesus in the way we have considered this morning. Remember, Andrew was used instrumentally to point him to Christ. And Peter found himself in acquaintance with Christ. He was following the Lord already. But here he was called, along with those true disciples, to be servants in a special way. The Lord would send them out. The Lord called them to the work of the ministry. Remember those words in Matthew 9 verse 38. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth labourers. And the Lord sent those true disciples. They were sent by the Lord. Romans 10 verse 15. How shall they preach except they be sent? He sent them forth, and he sends men forth today into the work of the ministry to follow the Lord in that special way. He calls, he sends. Listen to Paul's testimony, 1 Timothy 1 verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who have enabled me that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Putting me. He didn't put himself. The Lord put him into the ministry. He said in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 17, "For Christ sent me." And the Lord calls certain ones who will be recognized by the church, as we see in Acts 14 verse 23, to follow the Lord in a special way as ministers of the gospel, servants of Christ. And they're to follow the Lord, and they're to follow faithfully. The apostle wrote in 1 Corinthians 4 verse 2, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Stewards, it can be translated as an overseer, one who manages. We think of the servants of the Lord, overseers, elders. "Moreover, it is required in stewards," or an overseer, we can say, "that a man be found faithful." And God's servants are to seek to be faithful in all things as they serve the Master. Now such men will be tested and there will be a sacrifice. But such men will seek to be faithful. That's their aim in following the Lord. To the Lord they must bow. What a privilege to serve him in a special way, to follow in the work of the ministry. But we need to pray that the Lord would raise up others, that he would send them to follow in this special way. Matthew 9 verse 38, "Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Pray. Pray there will be those who will forsake all and so focus on the work of the ministry, that they will be put into the work as the Apostle Paul was, that they would be sent to minister the gospel, as we read of in Romans chapter 10. "Be encouraged, your prayer will be heard, because he is the Lord of the harvest." There is a harvest out there. Souls will be saved. He will send forth, he will call, he will send them, he will put them into the work of the ministry, that the gospel is heard, and that men are brought to faith in Jesus Christ. Well, there are those who follow the Lord in that special way, like these true disciples. But then all true believers, like these disciples, are found following him in a way of faith. Let us look to him. Focus your eye on Jesus this morning. Young people, when you're running a race, you focus your thoughts on the end of the race, don't you? You think of the end. One day there is an end. Well, focus your thoughts on the end, but also focus your thoughts on the one that is before you, the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who endured the cross. Look. And so we as believers will be found looking unto Jesus. He's the beloved of the soul. A young lady meets a man, and they look over, and something happens within. Oh, we have been brought to the beloved. Oh, keep looking at him. May our hearts be stirred. May our affections arise. And may we be able to say with the psalmist, "My soul followeth hard after thee, my soul." And see there the psalmist, he's not addressing the people around him. He's addressing the Lord. And that's the great concern. Yes, we're to be a testimony in this world. We're to shine his light for his glory. But first of all, it's our concern how we are following him in our own heart. May the Lord help us to follow him this week. May we notice activity within our soul. May our focus be on Jesus, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Consider the Lord was standing before Peter and those true disciples. They saw him. Will you look unto Jesus this week for his name's sake? Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, how blessed we are. Oh Lord, we can consider other blessings in store, but how blessed we are already simply to be following Jesus. Oh, help us in our walk. Help us in our following, O Lord. Help us in our looking. Help us in the running. Help us in the doing, Lord. And as we think of that following Thee and walking in love as Christ, help us to concentrate, blessed Lord, on being more like our Saviour day by day. Lord, at times we feel there's such a distance. But Lord, help us to be at His feet often. Oh Lord, our prayer is that we would grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Oh, as we think of perfecting holiness in Thy fear, as the Apostle spake of, oh, that this week we would become a little more like Jesus. Help us to so follow this week. We thank Thee for help in times past. Give us further help. Lord, without Thy help, we could not go one step forward. But Lord, help us on the walk. Help us on the pathway. We thank Thee we have one at our right hand and one before us as the great example. May we ever be learning of Him. Hear us, O Lord. Forgive us our sin. We feel so often we stray. Restore our soul when it needs it, Lord. Hear our prayer for Christ's sake. Amen. Our final praise is Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verses 28 through to verse 34. As we sing these words, think of the blessings through grace that we just briefly touched on this morning. Psalm 37, verses 28 through to verse 34. For God loves judgment and His saints, leaves not in any case. They are kept ever, but cut off shall be the sinner's race. Psalm 37, verses 28 through to verse 34.
For God loves judgment and His saints.
Oh,
grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all.
Amen. Amen.